Hello and welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on May 27th of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the anime we're watching, some of which, as the name indicates, is on Toonami. And this is our 200th episode!
Yay!
I know, and there was much rejoicing. So we decided, well, here's the thing. We didn't actually, it wasn't until we finished recording the previous one that we suddenly realized, oh, wait, we're about to do episode 200 next week. So we kind of had to hurriedly, and we decided, okay, we should watch a movie or something. And since it was kind of last minute, our options were a little limited. I kind of feel like thematically choosing Spirited Away would have made the most sense because Demon Slayer just knocked it off the number one grossing film of Japan.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have been able to get it in time. So instead we're doing Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind, the 1982 anime film that was later dubbed into English in a
let me correct you for a second. I think it was 1984.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant 1984. I was thinking the manga it was based on was released in 1982. Okay. That's why I was thinking of that number. Yeah, it was released in we'll get to that at the end.
Yeah.
So, sorry to kind of spring that on you, anyone who might have wanted to, you know, make sure you watch it before listening, but we'll be getting our regular stuff through first.
Yeah, we'll take long enough on all the other stuff so then you have time to go watch the movie. Then, once you're finished babbling, you can come back.
Okay. So, we've got... And so we'll start then with the first thing. I should actually mention Dragon Ball Super. This was the last time it aired at, well, for now, it aired at the start of the pack. So I don't know if you had anything you wanted to say about episode 109, I think it was.
Yeah. I kind of regret it now because I'm like, well, now I want to see who wins, like, which of Goku's team ends up winning or whatever. I don't know. I guess I got hooked on it a little bit because I've been watching for a while, and now I'm kind of like, okay, we need to know who's going to win it. But
yeah, well, you haven't been watching it for... You haven't been watching it for that long. I mean, what? Only 10 minutes have gone by when we started watching it, right?
Yeah.
I just love the part where after, you know, 20 or something episodes, someone says, it's a halfway point. Frieza goes, oh, wow, already? My, how time flies. Yeah, we haven't been really discussing it on the podcast, but we have been watching it, so... That's going to be, so while it's nicer that everything has been moved up, I honestly kind of might have preferred it if they just moved everything up and had Dragon Ball Super at the start.
Yeah.
Well, and since we've done with that, hang on, one other thing I wanted to mention before I forget. So, a month or two ago, the last chapter of Attack on Titan was published. And apparently in the volume release, they added some stuff. Like just 7 pages to the end or something. Because, well, you got to sell them. And I won't go into them. I'm just, in detail, it made it, I guess, maybe better in some ways and worse in some ways. But it also said, apparently... I haven't seen this. I've just, like, going by what people said, these two characters get together, and it's got to be one of the most, I'm just looking at it, wow, that really felt like you just picked two characters at random and had them get together.
I can't wait to find out who that is.
I can't, I don't want to say it, not because...
No, don't say it.
I don't even think it's really a spoil. It, well, okay, so here's the thing. It's not a spoiler that the characters get together itself, because I'm just like, well, I mean, it's such a last minute thing. It doesn't really matter. But it does spoil the fact they make it to the end of the series.
Right, right.
Okay. But yeah, that it just left me with a, wow, okay, that really did feel like, that felt pretty random. Not as random as some things. I mean, apparently this was something some people were fans of, but I never paid attention to Attack on Titan shipping, so.
Yeah, kind of like how some people still insist that Kagome and Susomaru are a couple. They're still holding on to hope that Susomaru and Kagome are going to get together.
Well, I didn't really, I didn't even really know. I never paid much attention to Inuyasha shipping stuff. Well, I never paid attention to a lot of shipping stuff, but
yeah, anyway. I'm a veteran.
Weirdly, I think the series that I paid the most attention to shipping in were series that actually didn't really have any, like, romance, like, even implied among the main characters. So I think it might have just been maybe the reason there never seemed to be that much shipping wars in some of those things is just because everyone knows, well, look, these characters aren't going to get together, so why bother fighting about it?
Yeah.
Or maybe I just avoided the worst parts of fandoms.
Yeah, the most famous, of course, and I was part of this war, the war between Ichiruki and Ichihime. And my side came out on top, so we conquered, we won, and I made sure to celebrate about it a little too much that whole August, whenever we found out that Ichihime had won. I think that was 2016. Can't believe it's that far long ago, but yeah, that was the biggest shipping war I was ever in.
I'm trying to think of which ones were, like, the bigger ones. I'm thinking, well, let's see. Avatar The Last Airbender had, like, some big ones. There was Zutara versus Katang. Yeah, the fun with the Portmanteau shipping names. And then the other big one I remember is, of course, Naruto, which is mostly about, hey, who does Sakura end up with?
Yeah, that was the one I immediately thought of.
I think one of the thing, especially, although I guess about Naruto and Bleach, is the fact it just kind of announced their. I think one of the reasons they were maybe more controversial was because it just announced their pairing so very last minute. Like, literal last chapter.
Yeah, you're right.
It wasn't, I feel, like I said, maybe I just wasn't encountering the right, or maybe I guess you could say the wrong in this case, parts of the fandom. But I don't necessarily remember there being that big of a thing in Avatar The Last Airbender, maybe because at a certain point it really became pretty obvious which way the writers were going to go. So, but whereas with Naruto, well, I mean, I guess with Naruto, there's a really obvious part where Hinata basically says, oh, I'm in love with you, Naruto, and then it's completely forgotten about. And I guess, well, you had that thing with Bleach also, where Orihime goes, oh, I'm in love with Ichigo, except he's unconscious, and then...
Yeah, somehow everyone took that scene and made it into Yukiora being in love with Orihime somehow. I don't know how they got that, but that was like, that scene was one of the weapons they used in as part of the Yukihime shipping war.
Well, you Oh, you said Okihime. I thought you said, like, Yukihime, and I was thinking,
I'm trying to say Yukiora. I can't pronounce
it. Oh, no, no. It's just, it sounds like that, and I'm just thinking, is there a Yukihime? Is that, I mean, it makes me think of Kuro Yukihime. but, anyway, I'm checking. Yes, Bleach ended in 2016. I don't know. I think the reason you always have these kind of last things is because the author's like, well, I don't want to write romance, so I'll just put them together at the end. The weird thing is that Dragon Ball actually bucked that trend. It just had characters get together, and then they were together.
Yeah.
Like it didn't focus anything really at all on, like, the dating or whatever. It's just, okay, Goku and Chi-Chi get together. Okay, Bulma and Vegeta get together. Gohan and Videl get together. And, like, there's, like, not really attention paid to it. They just are, and then it just moves on.
And then Goku doesn't remember how he was able to get a son.
I'm sorry, was that, like, something actually from the show, or was that, like, a joke? Or
no, that was in the show.
Oh, wow, I forgot that about
was that. That was in Dragon Ball Super at one point. It was like they brought up Goku was like, he didn't realize how he had gotten Chi-Chi pregnant or something like that.
Was that it, or what, did he say that he wasn't there for the birth of his kids?
No, I swear it was that he said he didn't know how it happened.
Okay, that might be the case. Anyway, so that's a lot of... So now that we've gotten through our... Wow, that was a very long opening. I sometimes wonder whether it's good to have this stuff at the beginning or the end.
I don't know.
So... anyway, I was saying, okay, I have one last comment. Then you have the weird case of Fairy Tale, where at the end, it basically, it as I saw someone say, it establishes the pairings, but doesn't commit to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly just kind of saying, oh, well, these two characters, they probably got together. These two characters, they probably got together. Like, that was like what it basically felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Actual Toonami stuff. Although I guess some of that was technically Toonami.
Yeah.
Right. So, My Hero Academia, episode 91. So, if you were excited by all the stuff the previous episode was building up, well, forget about that for now, because we're going to take the people from Class 1A and Class 1B, and they're going to be matching off against each other. And what was even his name? Was it Shinzo? Shinzo, that's it. Who we haven't seen since season 2, just decides to pop up and is like, I'm going to be part of this. Because I guess, I don't know, maybe he was a popular character. Anyway, so it basically sets it up, and then we start out with the match, which is, you know, something about, oh, you have to capture the members of the other team and such. And, yeah, we basically just get that, essentially. We're starting on another tournament, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because... You know, they used to start every My Hero Academia episode with the thing that this is the story about how I became the world's greatest hero. And it's like, at this point, he isn't even the greatest hero in his own class, let alone all time. And these tournaments don't seem to be pushing him any closer to becoming, you know, that. So, I'd much prefer if we had some of the bigger plot things, like, you know, replacing All Might or something like that, you know? But I guess this is what we got for now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just glancing over the popularity polls quick. It looked like in the earlier ones, Shinzo did okay. Not like super high, but you know, like 12th or 13th place, and then he got 10th in the third one, but then kind of dropped down a bit. So yeah, I guess he's not like the character that's really popular, but I mean, I guess he had some. Anyway, so yeah, I'm what was he in the most recent one? Oh, he dropped down to 24. I just remember the most recent one mostly because people observed, wow, all the top 10 characters are guys, which kind of tells you a lot about how My Hero Academia handles its female cast. And then I remember Black Clover's most recent one, I think was about 50-50 in terms of gender. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, that was My Hero Academia. It really is just a matter of it just feels like we've just suddenly, we set up stuff and then suddenly we're on this. And it's fine that we're focusing on the main characters again and such, but it's just because this one isn't really even, from what I can tell, a tournament. It's just like, we're just going to have you match up against other people. There aren't any real stakes to this, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is kind of cool, I guess, that Shinzo does have, because his quirk allowed him to take control of people if they if they responded to something he said. So he has this thing that lets it sound like he's someone else's voice, so that can get people to respond to him. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was My Hero Academia. Then we'll move on to Dr. Stone episode 26. So in this episode, they're on a goal to try to get the other cell phone to Taiju and Yuzuriha, who we again haven't seen for I think about 20 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird considering they were originally framed as two of the main characters. Anyway, they managed to do so. They distract what's her name, Homura, that girl who was like serving sort of as a scout for Tsukasa. But then the other people, they all managed to use the power of cell phone communications to surround her and capture her, and then they managed to get the phone there, and then the episode ends with Taiju using the phone to talk to them, and he's all happy because he's able to talk to Senku again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never understood what the obsession was over having to capture Homura, because didn't really appear like she was doing anything. I mean, she doesn't have a cell phone, does she? I mean, she just kind of appeared to be like spying, and like, yeah. Well, it didn't make sense to me.
Well, if they didn't take her or alternatively kill her, but you know, they were going to try to avoid that, she would have just dashed off to Tsukasa and tell him about the information she now has.
But like, what does she really know I mean, Senku's against him. I mean, they kind of know that already. Senku is going to, you know, wage war against them. I mean, they know that. So why do they need someone out there to tell them what they already know? You know, I just don't understand it.
I think it was the fact that it made it so that Tsukasa wouldn't know that that some of the guys like went there and were infiltrating his camp to leave that behind, so he wouldn't know about that. I mean, I get it's not merely even just that. It's the fact that she would have kept following them and seen what they were and possibly seen what they were up to. So they had to do that to, they had to get her out of the way somehow to make sure information wouldn't be leaked in any way. Well, I thought this was a much more enjoyable episode than the first one because, well, half of it wasn't filler and the rest, and the, unlike the first one, the other half wasn't that weird, like, existential morality discussion.
Yeah, I just was, I don't know, I felt like this is one of those, it felt, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of some of those hunter-hunter battles during the Chimera Ant arc, where, like, there were these cool battles. They were, like, they were fun, but they really were meaningless. And, you know, like that octopus and the other guy, I forget who, but it was entertaining, but it just felt like this doesn't really matter all that much. So why are we spending so much time on it? You know?
Yeah. You're talking about the, I can't remember who he was up against. The one where the octopus was against that guy. And at the end he was able to like beat them, and he was like, oh, well, but then he finds he can't kill him or what, that fight. Yeah. That was definitely, actually, I guess it was kind of pointless, but I mean, whatever. It was one of the better fights of the arc.
It was.
I'll take it.
Yeah, Netero didn't put up much of a fight at all. He just sacrificed himself. That's all he really did.
Oh, Netero. I'm having trouble remembering who most of those characters are now. Why is it that the thing I remember the most is just the part where that one character, and the narrator said, and he became so scared that his face aged 20 years. That's one of the clearest memories I have for some reason.
Welfin.
Okay, Welfin, yeah, his face aged 20 years. Okay, right. So then we move on from Dr. Stone to Food Wars, episode 50.
Okay, so basically, Soma and Erina have a heart-to-heart talk, and Soma is about to convince her, like, he wants to finally do it. Get her to finally say that his food is good. So he starts cooking up something, and then the rest of the dorm like watches so they can give us the play-by-play commentary. And Megumi and Hisako are doing it, and Hisako is just hilarious. Like, I didn't notice her as much of a character in like the first season, but now that I know her as a character, she's become pretty entertaining. So basically, they go through. So Soma, he cooks it up, and Erina tastes it, and surprise, surprise, a character likes someone else's cooking. I can't believe it. But she doesn't confess to it, which would have meant that the series would have been over had she had done that. So I thank her for not doing that. And basically, then she goes and gets a megaphone and starts shouting to everyone, which kind of didn't really make much sense, and makes even less sense whenever you see what happens on the next arc. But yeah, that was what it was. And despite what it may sound like, I really liked the episode.
Yeah, I just remember, I remember how quite a while ago I was mentioning, oh, Hisako, oh, well, in the last popularity poll, she was like the second most popular character. And you're saying, really?
Yeah, now she is my second favorite character.
Okay. So, we've gotten that. I don't know if I have too much to say. Well, the bit at the start where Tsukasa, it's so confusing that we've got a Tsukasa in both this and Dr. Stone, whose personalities are like the opposites too.
Uh-huh.
I did like when he gives the message, except he's like super nervous about it. Just the fact that he's like number one on the council, and yet he's basically always second guessing everything and nervous. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. Except it doesn't make sense that he's a bad guy, you know?
I kind of feel like both him and Rindo kind of, I'm just like, okay, they are the bad guys, especially at a particular point, but it just doesn't feel like they really should be, almost.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Especially Rindo. At least Tsukasa, I can see, you know, okay, he's got a nervous personality, but he still does this. But I don't know. Right, so that was Food Wars. Then we have Black Clover, episode 151. So we have the fight between the Magic Knight Squad captains and they're fighting and stuff as sort of some sort of exhibition thing. And then at the end, the writers realize, well, I don't know, we don't really want to canonically make any of these necessarily stronger than the others. So something happens that just ends. So Yami's big attack ends up actually shattering both of the crystals that each team was protecting, and the whole thing ends up a tie.
Yeah, I really felt like this didn't really, I don't know, it's filler, right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have much preferred if they would have spent another episode on Sarlacc's crush on Yami. Like, that's probably my favorite storyline of the whole show. And unfortunately, the Coral Peacock Girl kind of messed things up, and then Yami messed everything up, and that was it. So...
Oh, yeah, Dorothy. I like the part. Actually, that was the part of the episode I liked the most, when she just pulls Yami into that sort of weird dream world thing of hers. That was actually kind of cool, especially because we got to see her actually use it rather than, you know, just the elf person that was possessing her. It did have like the funniest part where, because whatever she imagines as it was becomes reality, as was established, that does mean that if you say something, that of course makes her think of it and it appears. So Yami's like, okay, well, and then he just lists like some food he likes, except it doesn't appear because she doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That part was kind of fun. Yeah, there were some funny jokes there, but the rest of the episode was just kind of, it was okay.
Yeah.
I just remember how this was all pitched on, oh, well, this is just covering the stuff that happened during the time skip. I think I said it before, I'm going to say it. I think they just said that to try to get people to watch it. Because they realized everyone's know, oh, a filler arc? Well, I'm skipping over that. And they realized, okay, we'll say this, and that'll get them to pay attention. When, like, there's been two episodes, really, that in any way I could say were actually, like, in any way important for what, happens in the in the like in setting up what comes later.
Yeah, how many more filler episodes?
We've got one, two. We've only got three. It looks like.
Oh, that's good. Did you see that Toonami announced that the next season of Black Clover will be on the air? I don't think it really changes anything. It's just that it's technically a new season that will be starting.
Yeah, it's stuff like the Black Clover, the continuous. No, I guess it's not that weird because they just do it seasons based on, you know, about like by year. Like the first one season was 51, the second was 51, the third was 52. Yeah, the fourth season, though, that will be. Is there any? No, there's no break either. So, yeah. That's when we are done with the filler, go back to the plot for 16 episodes, and then the anime ends. The anime, at least for now, has they are not making new episodes anymore. I don't know if it was a matter of it not being popular enough, or if they just said, okay, we are way too close to the manga, we'll have to do a ton of filler, let's just take it off for a while. I think they were making some kind of movie though. Let me just check quick. They were doing something. Yes, an anime film has been announced. So I don't know when that will happen or whatever. I somehow don't think it's going to do quite as well as the Demon Slayer movie did.
Yeah, probably not.
Although, to be fair, I mean, we're talking about the thing that got number one overall, so, in Japan. I wonder what they're going to do, because when it comes, it's going to have, they've announced a second season, that's going to be on Toonami. I wonder if they'll do something to fill in anyone who didn't see the movie, or maybe because the movie was so popular, they just assumed, well, everyone's seen it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just glancing over suddenly the top, the highest grossing films in Japan. I'm not seeing anything that seems to be a film that's part of an anime series like Demon Slayer was. All the other, well, not counting all the ones that are just, you know, American films, they're not something that was tied into an anime series, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I gotta wonder when the author of Demon Slayer like was saying, all right, so this is going to be the final arc, this series will be ending. I have to wonder how much the Weekly Shonen Jump magazine said, could you please keep this series going? I literally wonder how deeply they asked her, I think it's a she, to do that, because like this thing, it's ridiculously popular, and then now it's over.
You know, did you know that they offered Jerry Seinfeld $5 million per episode to do one more season of Seinfeld, and he turned them down?
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's crazy how much money he would have made. Over yeah. 100 million. I mean.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, what is the highest someone's gotten paid per episode?
I know like Mark Harmon on NCIS gets paid like, I think we went over this before, but either a million or a half million or something.
If I remember correctly, the cast, or at least the main three cast of the Big Bang Theory, got a 1 million per episode later on. Mm-hmm. I think the cast of Friends made a lot. Let me see here. Okay, according to Wikipedia for the television series, the highest paid salaries are Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon of The Morning Show at $2 million per episode. But if we're talking fictional series, that would be Charlie Sheen of Two and a Half Men, who made $1.8 million per episode and then still quit. Mm-hmm. And his character got killed off.
By a piano falling on.
Yeah. Then there was, wait, was that the first or the second? Because if I remember correctly, he got, I think that was, so my, I didn't really watch it, but I think what happened was his he quit. So in the next season, mentioned that his character, I think, was killed because his like girlfriend got angry at him for cheating and like pushed him off something. But then the series finale had a reveal he was survived. But then, so he goes to knock on the door, whatever, and a piano hits him then.
Yeah, I know. I'm okay. Very well aware of that.
Oh. Okay, all right. Because I was like thinking, I think that was the last one. Yeah. And then there was, but yeah, 5 million, that would have been, that's not only a lot, that would have been even more back then.
Back then, exactly.
How much was he making? Looks like he was making 1 million per episode at the end of the series.
Oh, man.
Okay. We have not only been having, we have been having so many tangents, and we haven't even finished talking about the Toonami shows yet. Actually, no, we have finished talking about the Toonami shows. Unless you had something else to say about Black Clover.
Nope.
All right. So then we move on to Baka and Test episode 7.
So basically, Yuji is forced to go to the amusement park with Soko and all the other members of the school all basically torment him for the whole time. And makes me wonder, like what kind of theme park has only like 10 people in it at a time? It was as if there was like no one else there. But basically just a whole bunch of jokes about at Yuji's expense, forcing him to do things and forcing him to get married. And they don't get married, but he suffers a lot. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it was that I... So there were some parts of this episode that left me a little confused. Like, why is everyone basically helping, what's her name? Shoko. Because she's, force, Yuji into this. Cause I thought they were on decent terms with him, but then they're like just supporting her in this for, I am kind of confused about this, about why they're doing that.
Yeah. I think it's just proof that there is no plot to this series. It's just supposed to be gag after gag, really.
Yeah, but that brings me to the other weird thing, which is at the end, it suddenly tries to play everything kind of seriously. Like, oh no, someone makes fun of Shoko and she gets sad and leaves, and Yuji cheers her up, and I guess both he and we are supposed to forget about the fact she's basically been a psychopath up through this point. Or it felt so weird to do that. Or was that supposed to be a joke in itself? Was it possible that was a reference to something somehow?
Well, speaking of references, did you see what the title is of the next episode?
Yes, I was going to actually mention that. It's Runaway Mazes and the Summoned Beast Instrumentality Project. So we're going to get some kind of Evangelion joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My favorite joke, I think, was just a part where he's thinking, okay, I just have to get the next question wrong, and the person Like, are you seeing if I don't answer or whatever? And the person just saying, what is the capital of Europe? Because they were like just being, they were kind of dumb. So
yeah,
that part was funny. Reminds me, of course, of that Boy Meets World thing where I think Sean just says, well, Europe, because he wants to like run away to Europe for, I can't remember why, but he just says, well, Europe's a big town. I'm sure I'll find someplace for me. Okay. Yeah, not that much else to say about that. Maybe there will be a bunch in the next episode if it's an Evangelion parody. Okay, mm-hmm. So then we've got Kaguya-sama episode 7. So the first one is, again, continuing that whole thing of those two characters who keep coming to Kaguya or Shirogane for romantic advice, and Kaguya or Shirogane giving bad advice. In this case, mm-hmm. Shirogane just like every single bit of advice. He said, well, you want to hold her hand? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to do all this stuff. He said, well, I don't have money for that. Well, you should get a job. It is, and like a solution to every single like problem he has is, well, you should get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Until Chika shows up again and just kind of fixes up things. The next one is just a weird bit thing about them talking about budgets, which is the weirdest thing because I have one of the clearest memories of a joke from that. The one where Chika like just kind of tapes the fan together and starts whacking Ishigami, I think his name was. That was really good. And now I'm thinking, wait, what happened at the end? How did that end? I can't remember. But... And then the last one is really just because Kaguya, first time does not mean kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions that she decided to do all the research to figure everything out, except now she finds people using the word wiener hilarious. And the whole thing is thus her trying to prevent the word from being said while she's in front of Shirogane, because otherwise she'll burst out laughing and embarrass herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the third one was probably the one I liked the most. First two were kind of forgettable to me, but yeah, I don't get how they come up with so and so loses or so and so wins. Like the result of today's battle like never matches up with what I would have thought it was.
Yeah, the one weird thing though I noticed from the last one was weird because Chika's talking about like her like wiener dog and she's calling it a wiener, and that's of course, you know, the joke and such, and I'm just thinking I'm gonna assume this is some sort of Japanese thing because I have never heard of anyone call a wiener dog a wiener. They say wiener dog. Maybe in Japan, that like just referring to it as like a wiener is more common or whatever, and that's where it worked. I'm a little surprised to see that apparently the sort of entendre of that term is also apparently a thing in Japanese. That was a little surprising. I assume they must have gotten that from English, too. That whole thing must have just come from English. So yeah, that was Kaguya-sama. I think my favorite. I did like. I don't know. I did kind of like the first one just because of how Shirogane keeps thinking everything the solution to everything is to get a job. But yeah, it was an okay episode.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our anime stuff before we get into the discussion of any of the movie. I guess we can give our usual top threes then.
Yeah, and mine Is the same as it was last week. Food Wars number one, Bakugan Test number two, and Kaguya-sama number three.
Well, for me, I will give a bit of a surprising one. I'll put Black Clover in third place just because I like the interactions between Dorothy and Yami. I mean, the rest of the episode was just kind of but I like some of that stuff. Then for second place, I will put Food Wars, and then for first, I'll put Food Wars in second place. First is Dr. Stone. I really had some fun with the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe part of the reason I'm liking it is because it was just such an improvement over the last episode.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's them. So I guess we'll move into our the movie we watched, Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. It was a 1984, I almost said two again, 1984 anime film that was later released in English, dubbed in English in, I meant to look this up, but I forgot what it was. I think 2005? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was, it's a little complicated. Originally, there was one that was released in the U.S. shortly afterward, but it apparently was like a very edited version of it that cut out a bunch of things. And then the version I watched, did you watch it dubbed or subbed?
Dubbed.
Okay. It was released 2005 with a dub by Disney, I think, because they had gotten they had a bunch of success with Spirited Away.
Oh, so, let me correct myself. I actually watched it dubbed and subbed at the same time, so I might bring up a couple cases where the dub and sub disagreed with each other. So,
The DVD I had, let me think. I think it had the option for the subtitles, but then also the subtitles for the dub. So I don't think I just watched it with the subtitles set up for the dub itself and such. But I think there was an option to have one that like the actual subs, which I assume were maybe a little more literal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the movie we saw. It was based on a manga. And so how do you want to approach talking about this? Look, you're the one who said you had all the notes to me about it.
Yeah. Okay, so my notes. So we started out with this setting up this thing where they're like mining for parts of creatures or something.
Oh, just a quick note. Sorry, I need to ask a question. Are we going to be spoiling the movie with our discussion?
I think it's been out long enough that we don't need to worry about spoiling.
Okay. I just wanted to establish it so any listeners would know. Okay, sorry for the interruption. Continue.
Yeah, so basically that goes on. And the first note I have of the movie, which is kind of strange, was about 10 minutes in where I noticed that when one of those creatures came, it actually turned on. It sounded like boss battle music. And it felt like it was a video game that they were, you know, going after the creature and stuff. And but then 2 minutes later, I finally made a note of it that, man, this is a slow start to a movie, because 12 minutes in, I really felt like I wasn't really getting much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you have anything to add, that would be good.
Oh, no, those were my thoughts on the early parts. Well, there was another thought that I kept having, and that's the fact that, so she's wearing this, like, this sort of outfit, and it's got, and it's sort of like, I don't know exactly what you call it, you know, sort of like a short dress, and she's got, like, you know, pants on underneath it. The problem is, for a lot of the stuff, especially at the beginning, the pants look really similar, like almost the same color as her skin. So I kept thinking, so whenever, like, you know, we were seeing that, I kept thinking, wow, that's a whole lot of butt shots we're seeing. And then I realized, oh, no, those are pants. Okay, so we're not doing that. All right, that makes a lot more sense. And even later on in the movie, there's all these shots where the sort of pants stuff she's wearing under the dress, because it's like not a very long one. So when she's like moving around and stuff, a lot of times, you know, it's popping up. And again, it's pants stuff, but it looked so like such a similar color. I was thinking, oh, wow, they're really going for fan service.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to mention but other than that, yeah, you're right. It was rather, the beginning was very slowly paced, which, to be honest, I kind of think is sort of a thing I've seen in anime films. Like their pacing is just slower than like the stuff I see, at least the stuff I watch from like, you know, English movies.
Yeah. So, okay. So my next note was just about the fact that I realized that this film, like, I didn't realize how old it was whenever I chose it. So whenever I noticed this, I was like, wow, this film is as old as me. That's it's kind of crazy. And then I noticed that shortly afterward that I can't think of this character as anyone besides Picard.
Yeah. I mean, it was good casting.
Yeah, it was. I thought he was the brilliant at that. He was a brilliant voice actor in this, which kind of makes me feel upset that his acting skills went into the toilet whenever he did this new Picard series, which he did not resemble his character at all. But back then, when this was put out, he was still doing X-Men movies. He was still at the top of his game, and he did really well in this role. Unfortunately, I can't remember what the name of his character was, but
I just thought of him as like the sword master guy, because, you know, he's like the greatest swordsman or something.
Yeah, I'll be referring to him as Picard. Okay, so next note. Well, whenever they say, like, they bring this child over to Picard and they tell him to give it a name, well, that's not what they told him in Japanese.
Oh.
In Japanese, they said they wanted him to become his the child's godfather. So, not really sure why they changed that. That didn't really, never really made much sense or was very important. But I was wondering why they did that.
Yeah, come to think of it, they even that like point of presenting with the kid, that I don't think that's ever, I forgot about that. I don't think it's ever brought up again.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to keep going with your notes, or do you want me to maybe talk a little about things?
Yeah, you can add in something.
Okay. Well, I kind of started taking some notes on a few earlier things, but then kind of stopped midway through. So they have him show up, right? And then these other guys show up to their valley, and they just attack, and just randomly decide to kill the king for some reason. And a point that's kind of all forgotten about, like, people are initially really angry about it, but Picard manages to defuse the situation somehow, and everyone's like, well, okay, I guess we don't want to fight and kill, so we'll go along with you. But why do they kill the guy? I mean, it was mentioned he was, like, bedridden or whatever. So what was the advantage to that? That was something that really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So we've gotten, that. So let's see. Because the point of that was because they were trying to, I'm trying to remember, was the giant warrior thing, they had that, was that in the plane or was it someplace else? I'm suddenly trying to remember, I forgot exactly where they got it, because, do you remember that?
No, actually I didn't hear what you just said because my internet went out for a second there.
Oh. I was saying that they had, because it was all about them having the giant warrior, and I was just trying to remember, where did they get the giant warrior? Was that on the ship? Because it was pretty big. Okay, I'm looking at a synopsis now, I'm remembering it. So what happened was, yes, that was being transferred by the plane, but the plane crashed, and then it became like, you know, like it started turning to the giant warrior thing, and people are fighting over that because of its power and such.
Yeah. Okay, so my next note here is that I made sure to, every time there was a Star Trek The Next Generation buzzword that came up, I made sure to write it down. So 20 minutes in, they say the word tapestry, and I'm like, yeah, and they were talking to Picard at the time too, and they said something about tapestry. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. Then I noticed that the Nausicaa, her design, like, was very much ripped off on by a Pokemon gym leader in the Hoenn region. Do you remember that at all?
Hoenn. Was Hoenn the second or the third? It was Hoenn, then Sinnoh, right?
Yeah, it was the third. And Winona, the flying type gym leader, her costume looks exactly like Nausicaa's. And she's a flying type, you know, wind. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a reference to that or not. It looks like one version of her I'm seeing looks different, but then another one looks much more similar. So I don't know exactly how that one necessarily works out, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking the manga version.
Okay. Yeah, she might have been more like that in there. So, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Right. And also you one thing I had a question. So when they were talking about the tapestry and saying, "Oh, it's a prophecy. It will be this warrior in blue and he will show up and blah blah." Did you just like me think, "Oh, that's going to totally be Nausicaa?"
I think I was geeking out so much over the word tapestry that I forgot to think about that. Yeah, that's kind of obvious, you know. I mean, who else would it be? That's the problem with these things. It's like whenever Luke finds out that he has a sister, well, there's only one female character who's even been revealed in Star Wars, so obviously it was Leia. I mean, it's kind of like that.
I was listening to something about the production of the things, and it's weird because Lucas like said, "Oh well, it was always going to be Leia," but apparently, like the production and like writing process, like that just goes against what he said. Apparently, like it was originally going to be some different character, but when they were looking through putting together the movie, they were like thinking, "Okay, we don't have time for this. We have to pay off the plot point there being another, okay, well, it's Leia, there, done." I like, they were saying it was interesting, that, like, it's, the thing I was listening to, because, like I said, Lucas said, I believe, that he had it planned, and the person I was saying was that they think that Lucas just kind of retconned it in his mind or something, essentially.
Yeah.
Or even, like, mentioned, well, from a certain point of view, you could say he like that was the thing I was listening to. It was this thing. It was by this guy called SF Debris. He had this this video series about the making of Star Trek, and he kind of discussed it. It's been a while since I've seen that, but yeah. Okay.
So my note at 25 minutes in is this is taking too long. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was taking way too long for this movie to get going, and then I noticed a little bit later, I was like, you know, I think my problem with this is that it's more like environment driven, not like the environment, like, you know, plants and stuff. I mean, like,
well, it is kind of driven by that, actually.
Yeah, it kind of is. But what I was meaning is, like, we're instead of focusing on characters, we're focusing more on just this world and the things in the world, and we're not really having any, the characters aren't the focus. It's more the world that's the focus. And I think that might be part of the reason why I didn't like it as much as I should. So, yeah. So that was one of my thoughts. Okay, we're around the point of the King getting killed,
mm-hmm.
where my mom's favorite actor was actually one of the voice actors in this, Mito, who was voiced by Edward James Olmos. So that was interesting. And then did you see that part where Nausicaa runs up these stairs? And I mean, there's no way you could run that fast up those stairs. Did you see that?
I think I vaguely do, but I don't think I thought anything specific about it.
Yeah, I just thought it was like he was like superhuman going up those steps. But yeah. Oh, and then they they had ships that. So when they're bringing in those ships, and those ships were breaking, like the one ship broke, I thought of the classic Star Trek line, "You broke your little ships." So I was thinking too much about Star Trek during this movie. Any thoughts from you?
One quick thing. I don't know. I'm in case, I don't know if you can hear the little DVD player that I put up, because you're mentioning the steps, so I'm pulling this thing up on something, and I'm going to try to find that scene just to see it, but I don't know if anyone could hear the little whirring, but in case you could, that's what it was. Anyway, back to what you were saying. Well, I can't even remember. What's that, all your little ships? I don't remember that line from Star Trek. When did it happen?
"You broke your little ships." That was in First Contact.
I can't even remember that much of First Contact. The movie's kind of a blur. Kind of feel like the only Star Trek movie I saw that I actually particularly like was Wrath of Khan.
Well, that's not surprising.
Although, to be fair, some of the good, I haven't actually seen that. There's a lot of them I've missed. Let's see, what have I seen? I saw The Wrath of Khan, I saw Search for Spock, I saw Generations. I saw Galaxy Quest. I saw First Contact and Nemesis. Those were the ones that I saw. I still haven't seen any of the new ones.
Yeah, First Contact's my personal favorite. Although The Voyage Home is a really good one too.
I should see 4 and 6 because everyone says they're the good ones, and I still haven't seen them. Because, you know, they're the even-numbered ones, and everyone says, yeah, Star Trek movie curse. And then people point out, well, you know, Insurrection wasn't considered good, and neither was Nemesis. And the solution is, well, just put Counts Galaxy Quest as a Star Trek movie and put it between them. Problem solved. Did you ever see Galaxy Quest?
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's this movie. It's like this Star Trek parody. It's about how the cast of this show that's clearly, like, you know, just Star Trek, how they get this alien race has seen broadcasts of it and think it's real. So they, like, get the cast thinking that they're the actual, you know, members of that crew to try to help them fight against this enemy. It's really funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, so then I didn't really have a thought until the 48 minute whenever Nausicaa was saying, "All this killing must stop." Mm-hmm. And that was whenever I started to wonder, okay, what political point was trying to be made back in 1984 that this movie was trying to promote? Because it felt like, okay, there's some theme to this movie, but, you know, 1984 being a long time ago, I don't know what exactly they were going at, but there was definitely something there. And then the next things I thought of was just the music they were playing. It really sounded like 8-bit music. Like, the one part sounded like Mega Man music. And then the next time, it sounded like the Wheel of Fortune Nintendo game. And it was like that retro.
Yeah, so at what... Yeah, so, yeah, I didn't really pay too much attention to the music, unfortunately. So I can't don't have that many memories of it, of that, unfortunately. So let's see. Yeah, she was. She did go up those stairs pretty quickly. I don't know. Maybe someone who is much fitter than me could manage to do it, but or maybe I'm looking at a different scene than the one you're describing. But yeah. Okay, so I guess we should probably move on a little past that. So basically, we've found out that because the toxic forest, you know, they're trying to find a way to stop them because there's all the insects from it. And I don't know. I was a little confused by this. I assume that the manga this was based on went in a bit more detail about some of these things. But the important thing is that that's bad and they have to try. And some of the guys are trying to, you know, get rid of it. Nausicaa's saying, oh, no, that won't work. That'll just make the insects angry and they'll attack us even more and such. But then they're... Right, so, but anyway, then they were going over to try to, right, the Tolmekians, those were the guys who, you know, came in and attacked, and they were bringing everyone, they were heading back to the capital because, why were they heading back to the capital again?
Well, you said you were a little confused. I completely disagree because I was a lot confused. I totally, in fact, here's my notes here. 60 minutes in, still not sure what this is about. 70 minutes, I still don't know what this is about. So, yeah, I was really confused. Really, really confused.
I think what was going on was they were trying to take some of the people, I guess, with them as hostages so that the people in the valley wouldn't, you know, be acting up or whatever. And they got Nausicaa because, well, I guess she's the main character, so... Right. Their fleet gets attacked by another nation, the Pegi Rays? I can't remember. I can't remember how it's pronounced exactly. That happens. They end up crashing into the jungle and having to make their way out, and she meets up with the guy. One of the Pegite fighters is there, and she managed to help them. There's probably since the manga continues the story past where this was, I'm going to guess there's about a 50-50 chance they got romantically involved at some point. but there's none of that in this movie, though. So they manage to get out and get back. Meanwhile, there's all this conflict going on in the valley because of the poison stuff got into the trees. And they were trying to destroy those, and that ends up causing an uprising against the Tolmekians. And then basically, Nausicaa manages to get back after, you know, a bunch of stuff because of all these conflicts between the Pegites and Tolmekians, which causes all the Ohm. I'm kind of skipping through some stuff. So if there's anything you want to make sure you mention during this time period, tell me.
No, not really.
Okay. And because the Pegites were trying, or was it the Tolmekians? I think it was the Pegites were trying to take one of the Ohm babies to try to serve as bait. But Nausicaa manages to stop that and return the baby to the Ohms, and they're all just like, well, we cool now. And then release something in the air that causes this like weird sort of cloud thing she walks on, and that's when the person realizes, oh, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy, and which I kind of saw coming. And then... everyone just decides, well, I guess that's the end of that for now, and we solved this immediate problem, and then the movie just kind of ends.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of similar to Jurassic Park, The Lost World, where the whole baby thing, and that's what that reminded me of, where, you know, they steal the baby dinosaur away and then causes the T-Rex to go crazy. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, so final thoughts on this movie. It was good, but in my mind, it wasn't, like, legendary, like, you know, like its reputation. I mean, I thought the voice acting was stellar, but then again, they did have some pretty big names in the booth. The animation for its time was still very good. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. I just thought that the plot line was a little too confusing, and it never really got me to really connect to any of the characters. Picard was probably the only one I really connected to. Like, they were just, you know, we didn't have enough time with them to get to know them, you know?
Yeah, it was, I feel, because this was based on a manga, and I was, like, kind of wondering, okay, so how was the manga in comparison? Because I didn't realize this until after I finished the movie. Midway through watching, I kind of took a break, and I kind of looked up some stuff about, like, the manga, because I was kind of curious to see, oh, like, does this encompass the whole manga, or does it just adapt it up to a certain point? So the manga ran from 1982 to 1994 for 7 volumes, and the film came out in 1984. So basically, the manga had only been going for 2 years or so when this came out. I should mention, though, the movie was written and directed by the same person who made the manga. So, yeah. I kind of wish almost we could have maybe put this discussion off a little bit, because I was very curious and I wanted to, you know, get a look at some of the manga stuff and compare it, but I didn't get a chance to check some of them out. But I did look at what some people said online about it, and the consensus I was seeing from the people who discussed it was saying, people said they thought the manga was better than the anime. They said, you know, it explains some stuff a bit more. The story goes on more. The anime apparently is kind of an adaptation of the first 2 volumes, but there's 7 volumes of the manga. So it's kind of like with this analogy, I think this is kind of what the movie feels like. It would have kind of been like if you watched the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, and then that was it. You never saw the rest of it. That's what this movie kind of feels like. It's the start of a story, except we don't get the rest of the story.
Right.
Apparently, from what one person said, we haven't even met, like, the main villains of the story yet.
Really? Boy, that is interesting. I didn't know all of that.
Yeah, I only was able to look at what a few people said, and I'm not sure how loosely this was adapted from the manga. I'm going to try to get my hands on some of the manga stuff to maybe look through it a little to compare it, but I won't be able to weigh in that probably for a week or two. But it does make me curious about that, because pretty all, like, I only was able to look at, like, maybe 3 or 4 people writing about, but basically all of them said that the manga was better than the anime. I saw one person say reading the manga made me like the anime less.
Really?
Yeah. So, right. So I guess on the whole, what you said, I was happy to hear you say it because I was worried that this might be something like Your Name, where you super loved the movie and I was the one coming in and saying, well, I didn't really like it that much. But
I gave it a 7 out of a 10. That's pretty much what I went with. So,
yeah, that's about where I would put it. Maybe a 6. It's kind of hard for me to really evaluate because part of that, of course, is the fact that the animation was definitely good for its time. It's still decent now, but it's there's just something about older anime. There's just like something about the coloring that's like that's more like faded than modern ones. In a way that doesn't really seem to be the case for like Western animated films. Like I recently, a while ago, decided I'm going to try to watch all the Disney movies in order. And then I kind of forgot about, I kind of stopped early. I think I only got as far as Bambi. I think it was because I wasn't able to immediately get the next one, which was, I think it was Saludos Amigos after that. So that kind of made me stop the project. And I seem to remember like the coloring stuff there. It's like the animation is clearly more dated, but it just seems a little more similar to modern stuff. But then again, that was a while ago. Maybe I'm misremembering things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess I'm kind of babbling a bit. Yeah, I overall agree with your assessment, though I think you did probably enjoy it a little more than me. But then again, I kind of wonder if maybe me reading all this stuff with all the people saying, oh, you should check out the manga, it's better, may have like kind of colored my opinion of it a bit. I think my biggest problem is what I mentioned. The fact that this isn't real, it doesn't really feel like a full story. It just kind of, it stops the immediate conflict, but it doesn't really conclude like all the other things. Like, I'm still left wondering, for example, is this supposed to be a future Earth or is this an alternate Earth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I did feel like there was stuff left on the table and that they could have. I mean, I don't know how long you could go in one movie, but it felt like, you know, it really didn't resolve all that much. But still, I thought it was pretty good. So it was worthwhile. I mean, I think, well, this was Miyazaki's first film, wasn't it?
Let me just double check on that quick. Where's the... Let's see. No, he directed The Castle of Cagliostro before this.
Okay. So it was one of his first, but...
It was the second movie he directed.
Okay. Yeah.
I kind of feel like this review is sort of just kind of ending. It's kind of like the movie. We're just ending. Let's see. Let me just glance over the stuff. Was there anything else I had to mention? Yeah, that's the main stuff I was think. The main stuff. I will definitely. I want to at least check out the manga to compare it. And when I do, I'll be sure to talk about it on the podcast. I doubt it. I'll like be able to do it by next week, but maybe the week after that, I'll be able to say a few things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's all.
All right. That's been our 200th episode. I kind of wish we maybe could have we had picked like a movie we were more gung-ho about. Yeah. But it's one of those, sometimes I kind of wonder if the best one would have been like a really, really great movie or a really, really bad movie. We haven't really gotten any bad movies. I mean, I guess we could watch. Well, I think I don't know if was it technically a series or a movie. It was. I guess it's 3 episodes, but each one was 30 minutes, so it comes to about movie length. Maybe we could do Garzy's Wing. We need to make sure we watch the dub because it's a weird thing, but the dub but it's not a good dub. It's just a bizarre thing about this guy who gets sent to this alternate universe, except he's also still back in his main universe and the two communicate. And I just liked the part where he just says, it has the line, "I am naked and fighting dinosaurs." And of course the dub also just has some great lines like, I must try to make sense of our convoluted situation. Maybe we should do that sometime if we end up getting it. I watched it because I read some stuff about how it was really dumb. At least in the dub, maybe it made more sense in the original Japanese. And my brother just randomly happened to see a DVD of it on sale and got it, and we watched it, and it was pretty, it was one of those ironically enjoyable movies. Mm-hmm. I just that line, "I am naked and fighting dinosaurs." Okay. So, that's, right. We're done now. We won't belabor the point any longer. You can find all of our episodes at wherever you found them, probably, but right now it's tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. We'll be here for next week with our usual assortment of stuff. We probably won't be watching a movie this time, though. Yeah. And with that, we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.